ones who believe that life here began out there, far across the universe, with tribes of humans who may have been the forefathers of the Egyptians, or the Toltecs, or the Mayans. Some believe that there may yet be brothers of man who even now fight to survive somewhere beyond the heavens.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
In the year 1978, a young boy aged 5 desperately wanted more after seeing the movie Star Wars in the theater. The geek gods heard this cry and gave the child 2 TV shows that quenched his thirst as Battlestar Galactica debuted, followed a year later by Buck Rogers in the 25th century. Please join this 5-year-old, now in his late 40s, Sean Kidd, and his watch companion Scott Shiflett, as Sean relives, remembers, and re-watches his 2 favourite TV shows as a young man, and Scott watches them for the first time. This is Battlestar in the 25th century.
Place to Be Pop, welcome to a brand new podcast on this feed. I am your host, Sean Kidd, and I am super excited to welcome you to Battlestar in the 25th century. And I know you heard the intro that kind of outlined the premise of the show. And we're going to go into a little more detail about the premise, the why I'm doing this, why I have my co-host on this, and I'm going to introduce him right now. So, Scott Shiflett, how are you?
Sean, I'm doing great. I was honored when you asked me to join you on this, as we'll get into what we have going on. But I started, I'm just honored to be here.
So full transparency, the reason why I've asked Scott to join me on this little expedition is Scott and I both have a very definitive love for comics and geekdom. Unfortunately, he likes Harry Potter, but I don't hold it against him. He's still a very good guy. But I figured since he liked Harry Potter, I wanted to expose him to something that I truly loved growing up that was at the time pretty groundbreaking from a TV perspective. It's actually 2 shows. So the reason why we're calling this Battlestar in the 25th century is when I was 9, or let's say in 1977, Star Wars came out. So actually I would have been 4. And then after Star Wars came out, like, there was this big scramble about how do we do Star Wars type shows and try to – how do we, like, capitalize on the Star Wars phenomenon? So in what happened is in 1978, along came Battlestar Galactica, which is going to be what we watch tonight. I'm going to talk about the premise of it, get Scott's thoughts. And then what we're going to do is live watch the first episode. And every episode moving forward, we're going to alternate. So for this episode, we're going to watch the first episode of Battlestar Galactica. On episode number 2, we're going to watch the next 2 episodes of Battlestar Galactica because the first three episodes are a 3-freaking-parter. So it's a 3-part story. So we're going to break the first 3 Battlestars into 2 pods. Episode 3, we'll get more into Buck Rogers, which is the other show that I grew up watching that's very similar in this time frame. It came out in 1979. And I'll go through the premise of Buck Rogers there. And then we'll take – so we're going to alternate shows. So after we get to episode 3 – we're going to do 2 Buck Rogers. The next week, we'll do 2 Battlestars, and we'll alternate from week to week to week. But for the first 2 episodes, we're going to focus on Battlestar Galactica. So, Scott, before I get into kind of the premise of the show, what it's really about, tell me about your experience with this show, if you had any whatsoever.
Sean, I got it confused with Stargate SG-1 when you were telling me about it.
Jesus, man, that was like 20 years later.
Well, I know, but I knew it was a movie, and I got it confused, and I thought it was like I was looking for Stargates, and obviously they weren't showing up, so I was with this. But I had heard of the mid-2000s show that was, you know, critically acclaimed on the Sci-Fi Network. I had never heard of the original, so when you came at me with this, I was like, yeah, I'll check it out. You know, like you said, I'm a nerd.
I didn't say you're a nerd. I say you have the finer appreciation of geekdom like I do.
Yes. Yeah, yes, exactly. But like I like sci-fi shows. Like I'm looking right now at my complete series DVD set of Fringe. So I'm into sci-fi, and as we'll get talking about this episode, I was surprisingly hooked despite some of the cheesy 1970 things that we'll see in this episode.
I can't wait to talk about that, about the cheesy stuff in it, but it really is a really fantastic story, I think.
Yeah, I remember messaging you. I was like, USOB, I thought I was just going to make fun of this the whole time, but I was like hooked watching it like the first 15 minutes, and I was blown away at how much I enjoyed it, which is something you can't really say with a bunch of these shows if you go back and look with 2020 eyes.
Well, and for the time frame, I mean, yeah, I mean, we're going to get into it, but, you know, special effects wise and things like that, it's very 1978, but I think for its time, I brought up groundbreaking. It is pretty groundbreaking because the special effects really aren't that bad for 1978 as we get into it. Now, we can make fun of some of them when they get really ridiculous, but it's so full transparency. Here's why we're doing this show. So when COVID hit, for me personally, I've had to work from home, and I'm not used to working from home. And obviously, I started podcasting, but at the same time, I always wanted to go back and, like most people do, want to go back and rewatch something maybe that they loved. And, you know, of course, there's other things like Scott and I are watching, like we've done the Cobra Kai pod. We're in the middle of WandaVision as we record this. So we're really up to date on the current stuff, but I've really had a hankering to go back and do something from a memorabilia standpoint. That's really what happened on my wrestling podcast, is I wanted to go back to my childhood and the time of COVID and think about something that was great that put me in my happy place. That's how NWA Crack and Roll came up. So when I was younger, there were two things that made me just the happiest kid in the world. Well, three. One was music, two was movies, and three was TV, and actually four was pro wrestling. So I got the pro wrestling gimmick out. I thought about the shows I really truly loved as a kid, and Buck Rogers and Battlestar Galactica came up to me. I remember them vividly. I remember when they were in syndication on Saturdays. I would watch them Saturday morning. I didn't watch them for the first time when they came out. I actually watched them when they came out in syndication because, I mean, I was, what, 5 years old when it came out as a kid, and I did watch some episodes, but the story is kind of like high level. So as a five-year-old kid, I didn't truly understand the storyline. And I know you've watched it, and you could probably – and we're going to live watch it, but I know you've already pre-watched this. You could probably figure that a five-year-old wouldn't really understand the premise of this show, right?
Yeah, there was like certain parts where I had to rewind it myself because I caught myself, you know, it's 2020. We're always looking down at our phone. And I was like looking down at my phone and I realized I missed something and had to rewind it. So I couldn't even imagine with a five-year-old's attention span. I mean, that's roughly where my attention span is with like a 5 or 6-year-old. So I understand where you're coming from, Sean.
Yeah, so this is how it kind of spurred. And I thought about the title and I was like, I want to combine the two shows. There was initially three shows I was going to put in this watch, but I put the other one on the back burner. It might be something we revisit later down the line, but kind of think of this as a mini series. So because both these shows had short runs, Battlestar only ran one season, but it did have a follow-up show that maybe down the line we'll talk about, not the 2003 reboot, but an actual sequel to this show. and then we'll talk about that and the premise as I set this up. And then Buck Rogers actually ran for two seasons. So Battlestar ran for 24 episodes, Buck ran for 37. So obviously we'll get through Buck Rogers. It'll take longer to get through Buck, the Battlestar. But these are my two favorite iconic shows as a child. And I desperately wanted to go back and rewatch. And I said, well, if I'm going to rewatch it, I might as well do a podcast on it. And we could do live watches and, you know, kind of do like, you know, a laugh in theater or a piece of the action. And we could do commentary, make fun of it, talk about what we love, and make it kind of an episodic kind of mini series. And there'll be times where we do it bi-weekly. There may be times where we do it weekly. It's kind of whatever we feel like doing as we go along and time permits. I don't foresee us ever doing less than bi-weekly, but I think there'll be times where maybe you and I are like, hey, you want to do an episode? Maybe we'll do it weekly. So I think that's what we've agreed to. So with that, are you ready for me to start talking about Battlestar Galactica before we jump into the live watch, Scott?
Oh, I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. So you could go to your what is it? I don't want to make fun of Conrad Thompson. Go to your Google machine and you go to Wikipedia, right? But you got – so go to Wikipedia and put in Battlestar Galactica 1978. I'm going to go over some of the tidbits about this show before we actually get into it. So this is what it says. Battlestar Galactica. It was a 1978 TV series created by Glenn A. Larson. And if you guys know who Glenn A. Larson is, he's created some pretty iconic shows. I would probably say his next iconic show. He's done like Knight Rider. He's done like Magnum P.I., those kind of older shows. So he's had some pretty iconic shows. But in 1978, he created this, and it starred Lauren Green, who was the – and I'm going to take you back, Scott. Do you know who Lauren Green is before you saw this show?
I don't know who she is now. The only name that I – What's
a he? Lauren Green is a he. That makes it even better.
No.
This is why I have you do this show with me, because this is going to be so much fun for me. So Lauren Green is the man who plays Adama. That's Adama is Lauren Green, and he used to be the father on the old TV show Bonanza. You've heard of Bonanza, I think, right?
I have heard of Bonanza. I'm not a big fan of Western TV shows as a kid growing up.
I didn't watch it either, but I just knew who he was in this show because I was a TV geek whether I watched it or not. It also stars Richard Hatch as Apollo, his son. Richard Hatch, I don't know much around what he did besides this show, but the big one that I think everybody will know, and I'm curious to know if you know Dirk Benedict, who plays Starbuck. Do you know what else he was in, Scott?
No.
Very famous 1980s TV show and has a real WrestleMania tie to it. As a matter of fact, Dirk Benedict also has a wrestling tie.
I have no idea. All Saturday right. Night Live? No. I mean, I know they're on
big wrestling.
Wrestling. All right. You said WrestleMania. Oh, Mr. T, A-Team.
Dirk Benedict played face in the A-Team next to Mr. T's B.A. Baracus. So he actually had two TV shows, this one, and then he went on to be more, probably even more famous in the A-Team because of that show. But even better, Dirk Benedict, and I hope our friends over at the Silver Screen Pod on North South will do this one day. He was the main star of the movie Body Slams. That co-starred Roddy Piper. Have you ever seen that movie, Bodies?
I think so. Does it have a scene where like Mean Gene is commentating like an exorcism?
I believe so, but it has. I believe it's Tama and Roddy Piper are a tag team in that.
Oh, that would be a team you don't want to mess with.
So I think it came out in 1983, 84, but he was the main star of that. So Dirk Benedict's got quite the acting ability under him. He's got quite the resume, you might say. So, but plays the really iconic Starbuck, and we'll talk a lot about Starbuck tonight. So those are your main three stars, and we'll talk more about the other stars later. So anyway, this story basically follows the surviving humans as they flee in a Battlestar Galactica and other ships in search of a new home while being pursued by the Cylons. We'll talk about the Cylons in a minute. They're this crazy robotic race that is out to destroy all humankind. So the show ran from 1978 to 79, and it only lasted 24 episodes, but it was did really good in the ratings, but the cost factor was really high. Like the first episode alone cost $8 million. To make and
that's a lot in 1970.
Yeah, in 1978 to produce a three hours or a movie or whatever in $8 million is a hell of a lot of money. So the show got canceled, but in 1980 there was a writing campaign and they revived the show as Galactica 1980, and that has 10 episodes, and we might watch that at the end of this just so we can keep it running along with Buck Rogers as we go along. Because the only main star in that show that comes back is Adama, and everybody else is gone. And they actually, it's the most ridiculous show, so we will probably have to talk about it. Because as we go through this watch, we'll probably be wondering, well, what the hell did they follow up? How did they follow up this show? So I think we're probably going to have to do that down the line. So, all right, so here's the plot summary. And this is the main watch, what we're going to see tonight. And I'm going to read this verbatim for Wikipedia. And after I read this, I want to get your thoughts, Scott. In a distant star system, the 12 colonies of mankind were reaching the end of a thousand-year war with the Cylons, which were warrior robots created by a reptilian race, which I don't remember if we actually see this race or not. But anyway, it says the reptilian race expired long ago, presumably destroyed by the Cylons, their own creations. Humanity was ultimately defeated in a sneak attack on their home worlds by the Cylons, carried out with the help of a human traitor named Count Baltar. And again, this kind of sets up the plot we're going to see tonight, and he's played by John Kalikos, really just a smarmy son-of-a-bitch heel, which you'll see as this show progresses. Protected by the last surviving Capitol warship, a Battlestar named Galactica, the survivors fled in available ships. The commander of the Galactica, who is Adama, and says, led his ragtag fugitive fleet, which is in the intro of this show, which I'm sure you hear as we do this pod, of 220 ships in search of a new home. They begin a quest to find the long-lost 13th tribe of humanity that had settled on a legendary planet called Earth. However, the Cylons continue to pursue them relentlessly across the galaxy as they try to find Earth. So what's interesting about this show is you'll see they never really talk about what era this really takes place in. Like, you don't know the timeline, you don't know the year, you don't know when it takes place. At the start of the series, it's mentioned as being the seventh millennium of time, although it is unknown when this is in relation to Earth's history. There is implications on the final episode of when the timeline takes place, but I don't want to spoil it because that's kind of a final episode spoiler. Obviously Galactica 1980 kind of blows it out of the water a little bit for you because it's set in the year 1980. So since we mentioned that, but I will tell you this original run does not take place anywhere in 1980. So we'll save that for the, we'll save that for the last one. So anyway, Larson, who made the show, was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and he incorporated many themes from Mormon theology into the shows. And I think we'll probably see quite a bit of that, and I'll be curious as we go along if you identify some of those themes, Scott. But anyway, that's the beginning and the summary of the show we're going to watch tonight. So just reading that summary, before we even would watch this, what would you think about this TV show and the potential of it?
Well, I mean, the summary, hopefully that wasn't in someone's TV guide, because that basically just ruined the whole first episode.
Like, it kind of did, but it kind of didn't, because a lot happens in the episode that isn't really mentioned here. It kind of gives the setup of it, though.
Yeah, well, definitely with the guy who's the Cylon liaison, the human liaison to the Cylon.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a big plot point, right? It kind of blew it right out the gate. Yeah, it's a big plot point.
I mean, but anyone who's watched TV for any modicum of time would see that he was going to be a traitor immediately. Like, I pointed it out. I was like, oh.
You just see him, and we'll talk about it. When you see him, he just looks like an evil, smarmy son of a bitch with his little eyebrows and his wrinkled face. He just looks like a heel, right? A pure heel.
He looks like a vampire.
Yes. So what about the rest of the setup? Like, what do you think about the whole the reptilian race that created the Cylons? The Cylons killed them, and what do you think about that whole mythology? I think that's kind of cool.
Well, I'm a sucker for a good mythology in a TV show or a video game or something. So that definitely perks my ears up. And I love watching stuff like Star Wars that we don't know when it took place. It just didn't take place in this time because, you know, even in the 70s and in 2021, people just want to unplug their brains and just escape to a, you know, far, far away land. And in this case, we're jumping to the seventh millennia. And I wrote, and I actually have a note, seventh millennia of time and still no peace. So
whatever the seventh millennia of time means, right?
Like, what does exactly that even
mean? It just sounds cool as shit. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest.
I just imagine the writer was like, you know, it's the 70s. So he's probably taking some LSD and was like, wrote down seventh millennia of time and was like, no, this is some good shit. And was like, we're off to the races.
And maybe a little bit of drugs were involved in that, I would imagine. Probably,
100%. 100%.
So you brought up Star Wars. So this show and Buck Rogers both caught a little bit of flack. I definitely look forward to talking about Buck Rogers in episode 3, but we'll talk about that then. But because they're two very different shows. But it took a lot of grief because a lot of Star Wars tropes are in this. And a lot of people, you know, that were involved in Star Wars, most likely Lucasfilms, were not happy. So there were lawsuits and things here and there. But I don't really find it that similar. I mean, you could probably say, as we go into this, the fighters and the X-Wing fighters and all that and the Cylon ships, you could probably compare it to the Empire and the X-Wing fighters, right? I would probably say that's probably the biggest similarity. What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. But last I checked, I didn't see anyone busting out a lightsaber. And if they bust out a lightsaber, I'd be like, Lucas, we need to call your attorneys because you're about to be a billionaire in 1970. But like, you know, with the ships, I mean, but there was not that much to lean on with that with sci-fi, you know, at least on the TV screen, to my knowledge. I may be incorrect. So I can see why they pulled heavily. But yeah, it definitely looked like there's some TIE fighters in there.
Yeah, so it dawned the whole thing. Like, I remember it had toys and everything. And, you know, there was a big lawsuit on the toys, and I'm going to share this with you guys. There was a toy. On Christmas Day 1978, a four-year-old accidentally shot one of the pellets from a Cylon Raider into his mouth. It lodged in his larynx and caused his brain to be deprived of oxygen, and he died. So
Holy shit. So
Mattel had to issue a recall of all the Galactica toys, but of course Mattel got sued by that. So there was another incident as well, again from another pellet, but the second incident wasn't fatal. So I had this toy. So both the Cylon Raider and the I forget what they call the planes at this point, Vipers, which are a really cool name, by the way. They both had these little pellets that shot out, like out of the side of them. But yeah, so apparently kids that were 4-year-olds shot them into their mouth. And I think nowadays toy companies probably be a little smarter about that, making sure those pellets don't do that. But what do you think about the Cylon Raider pellets injuring these young men, Scott? Pretty terrible.
So it's just like A Christmas Story, which, you know, me and Sean have spoken at length. I'm not a fan of, but I guess the mom was right. You shoot your eye out with these kids not paying attention and, like, taking themselves out. The one kid basically sounded like he was brain dead with the oxygen deprivation. But, yeah, the 70s and 80s were a wild time because I grew up, I was born in 89, and there were no way in hell no action figures would have been created like that.
Yeah, I was born in 73, and I will tell you, it's much freedom time, you know, honestly. You know, you go out, the way I grew up is during the summer, you would eat your breakfast, you get kicked out of the house and go play outside, come back for lunch, get kicked out again, come back in for dinner, and then you're pretty much watching TV until you go to bed. That's kind of how our days rolled in the summer. Because parents were a little bit more lenient back in the day. And I will also tell you, though, from a parental standpoint, I think at this point I probably would have had enough sense to not buy my 4-year-old a Cylon Raider with a pellet. I think that's probably – maybe that doesn't really necessarily say if they bought it for the kid, it could have been his brother or everything, but yeah, definitely not a good thing there. So yeah, that's terrible. So anyway, so ratings. So let's talk about that. Battlestar initially was a rating success. CBS counter-programmed it by moving to Sunday block of All in the Family and Alice, which All in the Family is an all-timer. Alice was pretty good at the time. So it's kind of like a death knell to go up against those two. So it says from October 1978 to March 1979, All in the Family averaged more than 40% of the APM audience and Galactica at 28%. In mid-April 1979, ABC executives canceled the show. This decision to bump the here's what it wrote. The decision to bump the expensive Battlestar Galactica was not surprising. The series had been broadcast regularly in recent weeks, attracting slightly over a quarter of the audience in a Sunday night time slot. The creator Larson claimed that it was a failed attempt by ABC to reposition its number one program, Mork and Mindy, in a more lucrative time slot. So basically, Battlestar Galactica got canceled because of Mork and Mindy. I find that absolutely hilarious.
There was only room enough for one sci-fi show, and Robin Williams won out.
Nanu, Nanu. That was the famous line from Mork. I watched that show as well. So the cancellation, like I said, led to viewer outrage and protests. And it even contributed – Jesus. God, this is such a depressing thing. It contributed to the suicide of Edward Seidel, a 15-year-old boy in St. Paul, Minnesota, who was obsessed with the program. He committed suicide because the show was canceled. So we have 4-year-olds dying, and now – I mean, this is some pretty, like – wow. It's pretty pretty somber stuff here.
Yeah, that's just heartbreaking. That's just sad. Like – the 4-year-old, I was like dumbass kid, but damn, I feel for that kid's family.
Well, it kind of tells you how big, you know, this show was. So it's not only that, you know, the other thing that's really iconic about this show is the music. It's got a great orchestra background to it. And you'll hear some of that as this show goes on in intros, outros, and during breaks. But here's what I'm going to tell you about the show. The show's original music was composed and conducted by Stu Phillips, who you see his name glaring in credits all the time. And the pilot was score performed by the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra. So they actually had the Los Angeles Philharmonic Orchestra record the music for it. And then they actually released an album for this. And I actually shared the link to that album to you today. And they actually had the link of the album onto YouTube. They actually play the album to the point of where they put the album on, and you can actually hear like the album like with the little scratching on it. And you even said that's a hell of a freaking link. So what did you think of that album that I sent over to you today?
I was having a kind of a crappy day at work, so I clicked on it. I was like, what the hell? I was like, this is the link on my phone. Like, took up. I had to scroll, so I clicked on the link and I listened to a little bit of it. And as I've gotten older, I used to not really care about soundtracks, but it was interesting. I enjoyed it. Like, I could see, like, I live in Nashville, Sean, and back before the COVID days, they had at our Schermerhorn Symphony Center, they would play a movie, and the symphony would play the soundtrack over top of it. And I was wondering why, like, you know, you get a bunch of Battlestar nerds in for that, and they could do that and make some money. I might actually pimp that to them at the end of this.
So what if I told you there are four different Battlestar Galactica CDs?
Four.
So 2011 is Battlestar Galactica Volume 1. It's all the music of the first three episodes we're going to watch tonight, called Saga of a Star World. Battlestar Galactica Volume 2 has Lost Planet of the Gods Parts 1 and 2, Guns on Ice Planet Zero, which I can't wait to talk to you about, because a lot of people are going to say it's very like Empire Strikes Back. The funny part of it is it came out 2 years before Empire Strikes Back, so I'll look forward to talking about that one. And in 2012, we had The Long Patrol, The Lost Warrior, The Magnificent Warriors, The Young Lords, Murder on the Rising. Like, he wrote all the music and different music for all these episodes.
Oh, my goodness.
So four different volumes for four different – like, just think about the amount of money that went into this. That's why it's so iconic for me. The story, the visuals, the music, it all just blends together. And it's like just imagine as a young kid how captivated you would be with all this stuff. It's crazy. Oh.
You can tell ABC at first, like, you know, with all you're saying, they went gung-ho on this, but...
Full on. And Buck Rogers, lost. Too. They went full on with both these.
I mean, now you would see network executives like, oh, we're going to, you know, see what happens with this. But if that much fan appreciation, you would see, like, the show spun off to Netflix or Hulu or something.
Absolutely. So with that kind of brings us to our first episode. So here's what's interesting about the first episode. This was actually – let me get back to my link here. This is pretty damn funny. This first episode was actually released as a three-part movie. Well, it's not a three-part movie. It was released as a movie, a theatrical release. And let's see, where is that at where I saw the movie itself cost $8 million. It's basically the pilot. It was budgeted $8 million, one of the most expensive at that time, was released theatrically in various countries, including Canada, on July 8, 1978. So in theaters, it actually was released 2 months before it premiered. It premiered on September 17, 1978. And on September 17, 1978, the full 148-minute pilot premiered on ABC, the high Nielsen ratings. So they basically premiered the whole entire thing on ABC when it premiered. 3 hours. This is how long it aired.
That's crazy.
Crazy, like, crazy in 1978 for them just to put a three-hour movie on there. So the pilot had originally been announced as the first of three made-for-TV movies. After broadcast of the second episode, which was called Lost Planet of the Gods, Glenn Larson announced a format change to a weekly series. And it caught his writing and production staff off guard, resulting in several substandard Crash of the Week episodes until quality scripts could resume. Lost Planet of the Gods also introduced a costume change from the original, that the Warriors' dress uniform featured a gold-trimmed cape falling to upper thigh. Because of the costume change, a portion of the pilot had to be reshot. So, $8 million in 1978. I would love to know, like, what that equates to today, because that's some crazy money for a TV show. So, any thoughts there, Scott?
I'm looking right now to see what $8 million is.
Yeah, I should have looked it up, but I'm very curious.
All right, hold on. But yeah, it's God, it just shows how much they were into this show. And for them to pull the plug on it's rather upsetting. $8 million in 1978 is $33.5 million now.
So $33.5 million they spent on this freaking ABC movie. That's crazy.
Most theatrical movies don't even get that much of a budget.
No, they don't. So, yes, they were all in Star Wars. It was coming out hot. They wanted to create the show. They got a premise. They got a story. And then they went with it. And I was all in on it. So with that, we are going to go to episode one. And Scott and I have already kind of pre-watched this a little bit because we want to kind of have our head wrapped around stuff. But this is part one of the movie that we talked about. And what will happen is in syndication, they broke these episodes into three different parts. So we're going to watch episode one tonight. And then our next episode, we're going to watch the final two episodes of the first three because it's a three-parter. Then we'll do Buck Rogers in episode 3. And like I said, from there, we'll go every two episodes from that point on. One episode, we'll do two of Buck. Then we'll do two of Battlestar, and then vice versa. So pretty exciting stuff. So we are watching this on the NBC web app, and you can download this to any of your streaming devices. However, there is a caveat. So one of the things we can't do is you can't use closed caption that we found out. So if you hear some noise in the background, that's us watching it. We'll try to do our best to keep the noise minimal as we kind of talk through what's happening in this. And then the other thing is on the NBC app is the commercials are off the chain. Like I think they'll just randomly pop up and they'll be like one of five. So when we get to those points, Scott and I will kind of talk through it. Just probably talk about a bunch of different shit, our thoughts on the episode so far. We'll try to keep those. And the other thing that might happen is the commercials could randomly just go in different areas for us. Like my commercials could come on at different times in Scott's, and then that's going to make it a lot of fun. Right, Scott?
Yeah, exactly. Like when I was pre-watching this, I'll be like sucked in on something. Next thing you know, it's like some Kia commercial app. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And then it's like five apps later. So I'm looking around, but yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I suggest for you guys, if you're listening on, now is when you would want to sync up with us with this. We're at 001 right here.
Yes.
I see a Glenn Larson production. And take it from me, I was skeptical of this. I thought it was just going to be
full transparency. When I asked you to do this, you thought it was going to be some hokies 1970s horse shit that we were going to just make fun of. That's what you thought.
My words exactly. And I was like, what the hell has Sean gotten me into? But in the first 15 minutes, I was like, damn, I'm kind of hooked. So
yeah, the story comes in hot and hooks you right out of the gate.
Like, so I hope you guys can do that as well.
All right. So before we start, I'll give you the overview. So I kind of went over the premise of the show, but here's the overview. This is Saga of a Star Ward is the name of the episode. This is part one. So the overview, the human Cylon peace accords are a ruse by the genocidal Cylons determined to exterminate all humanity. Only the Battlestar Galactica and a ragtag fleet survived, journeying across the galaxy in search of a long-lost sister civilization known as Earth. On the first leg of their journey, the fleet is lured to the planet Carillion for fuel and relaxation and barely survives the trap by the Ovians, an underground insectoid species in league with the Cylons. So I don't think we get that far in episode one. That's part of part two and three, so that gives us something to look forward to when we can see these insectoid species. I'm sure you're excited by that, Scott.
Oh, 100%, because it was shown at the end, because with this being a 70s show, it shows you like, oh, here's what's coming next, and it showed like basically the whole plot for the next episode. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, so with that, are you ready to start?
Yes, sir.
All right, so let me see here. Let me get my app back up and working. All right, so hang on, let me go. I'm gonna count 3, 2, 1, and then we're gonna start, okay?
Sounds good, buddy.
All right. 3, 2, 1, start. Jesus, that's loud.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, so tell me what you're thinking through this beginning, what we're seeing right now, Scott.
First off, this intro takes... They were definitely taking Star Wars notes, because this intro takes like 2 minutes and we're seeing
this is theatrical bullshit we're watching right now with this big star system and whatever this big, huge orange thing is in the middle of it. This is amazing.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, and the credits are like coming at your face. So like, you know, we see like, and Terry Garter is Colonel Ty. And it's like, no, Terry
Carter,
you.
He deserves a special Terry Carter as Ty.
And then like guest stars like Wilford Hyde White, you know, John Colicos. Like, I'm sure these were names in the 70s, but their grandkids don't even know about them now.
Well, Rhett Sprang, we will see later as Cassiopeia. She is a hooker. So I look forward to talking about her. And of course, John Fink. The amazing Jane Seymour in here that we didn't even talk about is Hachi Serena.
Oh, yeah. She is very easy on the eyes. That's Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, if you don't know who Jane Seymour is, or the mom in Wedding Crashers.
Yes. So the music, what do you think about the music we're getting here?
Oh, the music just like sets the stage that you're going to see something epic, and it's just continuous. And like, knowing it's from an orchestra now, you can definitely hear it. Like, I just heard like the trombone and everything, and it sets the stage for what we're going to see.
So here we go. We're We're getting ready to open it up. We're through the credits. This is an iconic entrance here that you're going to hear at the beginning of our podcast, by the way.
Oh, beautiful. I can't wait for everyone to hear it.
See if I can turn it up a little bit. Can you hear it?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Forefathers of the Egyptians.
Yeah, it's just like, oh. You know, like, he's spewing some crazy bullshit right now, but you're like, oh, I'm hooked. Just the way
and this
how the
visual is incredible, that the blue and the colors and the star. This is amazing.
Oh, I'm sure someone was stoned and was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
And this narrator is unbelievable. You'll actually see him in a future episode. He's in a two-parter coming up down the road.
Oh, I thought it was the leader of the Battlestar Galactica. I thought it was him. Wow. Okay.
Right. So now we're opening up with a Battlestar with a fleet behind it with the iconic music.
Yeah, these ships do look a little Star Warsy.
But for 1978 TV, this doesn't look too trashy at all.
No, it doesn't. Trust me. We'll get to that shortly with how trashy it looks. But
all right, so this is the Battlestar Atlantia. This is not the Galactica. So the Atlantia, there's five Battlestars, and they all make up the Colonial Fleet as for the peace treaty. There, the Battlestars Galactica, the Atlantia, the Acropolis, the Pacifica, and the Triton. And what you have here, you have President Adar, along with the Quorum of 12, and they're celebrating what they believe is to be a peace treaty between humanity and the Cylon Empire. And in this Quorum of 12 is Adama, who is the commander of the Battlestar, and Baltar, who's also a part of this Quorum. And they're talking about this peace treaty, and they're getting ready to do a toast. And what do you think about this opening so far, Scott?
Well, just like seeing how like they're showing all like the presidents and like the president and the Quorum of 12, but you see everyone's wearing white, and then you see Adama and he's wearing blue.
Yes.
So it shows off that he's different and is not thinking with everyone. And then we just see Zach and Starbuck talking.
So do you know who Zach is?
No.
Have you ever heard of the song Jesse's Girl?
That's Rick Springfield?
This is Rick Springfield.
Oh, my God.
So Rick Springfield is in this episode, and he plays Apollo's younger brother, and he's kind of a young cadet. We have Starbuck here, who is Dirk Benedict. I would probably liken Starbuck to a great value Han Solo. And Zach is trying to convince Starbuck to let him take his patrol because he wants to go out and do the patrol, that they're scouting ahead for this treaty. And Apollo just walked in, and They're kind of setting up Zach so he can go out on patrol. They're messing with him a little bit because he's a young kid. But Zach's going to get all giddy here in a minute because they're going to let him go out and do the patrol ahead of this whole Quorum treaty with the Cylons. Go ahead.
And Apollo and Zach, they're brothers, right? Or is it Starbuck? And
no, they're
Zach
brothers. Starbuck's is kind of, like I said, he's kind of that rogue kind of little fighter pilot. These Apollo and Zach are brothers. Can't you tell by the feathered 70s hair they both have?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. The hairs in this show are amazing. It's just, you could tell it's the relic of the 70s. And then we see Zach and Apollo, which, just great names. Like, you know, I like Starbuck, but like Apollo,
this little commander girl here is a little bit cute, underrated Hachi. So.
Oh, I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, we're in our first commercial.
Yep, I just got randomly thrown in the commercial as the...
Oh, and now it's back on.
Yeah. So these were synced up. So.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
All right. So now they're flying in their ships. I do want to talk about, they're out doing this patrol. So it's Zach and Apollo flying ahead to kind of scout everything out ahead of the Cylon Treaty. I want to get your thoughts on their outfits, the ships we're watching, and their helmets that they wear in their fighter Vipers.
So the ships they stole, I guess there was some left over from shooting Star Wars.
They look very similar, don't they?
Yeah, Lucas should have been like, yes, just watch the first 5 minutes. Their helmets look like they're Egyptian. So I guess that was a relic from the Egyptian forefathers that was spoke of earlier. And you just know something's up because they're doing this normal patrol, but you know they're going to bring back something. But, you know, we gotta just get to that moment now. And then we see the president talking to the Cylon liaison.
Well, we don't know. Well, yeah, he's your Cylon liaison that supposedly did this treaty between the Cylons and them. But again, he's Baltar. He's a member of this Quorum. So they trust him, obviously, because they think he's the one that has done this.
But he looks like you said, like a smarmy piece of shit. Just looks like a vampire.
So now the president's talking to Adamas separately.
And so I wrote down something here, Sean. So, 1978, the height of the Cold War. So I wrote, basically, the humans were the United States of America, and the Cylons were supposed to be Russia. Because, like, Adamas wrote, like, you know, all the Cylons want to do is just kill everyone and leave nothing in their wake. And I could see that being, like, the America rhetoric at the time. And, you know, the president here, he's just a little too nice.
A little bit naive. Adam is here talking about how he doesn't trust it and he has a bad feeling. The Cylons hate humanity, and Adar is making, of course, assuring him the Cylons are here for peace. And now we're back to the patrol with their King Tut helmets. Which is,
yes, that's exactly what it is.
We brought up the Egyptians earlier, and they wear these King Tut helmets in their fighter jets, the Vipers, I call them. And they have this little joystick that flies their plane that has literally three buttons on it. So it's like an Atari Viper ship.
Yeah, it's like it says turbo, fire, and I can't make out what
it's
the third
turbo,
one is.
Turbo, fire, and aim. Those are your three buttons on the stick.
Why do you need a
fighter pilot?
Why do you need another button to aim if you're using the joystick?
So now they're flying ahead, I think, to this big, huge cloud.
Yeah, it looks like and it's a cloud in space, guys. We're not on a planet. We're in the middle of space right now, and there's this big, like, cloud. So
running a scan on it, and it's a Cylon tanker.
And, of course, you know something's up.
Yeah, Zach says, I have a funny feeling about this. What you also notice about these ships, they do a lot of the same stock footage as episodes go on, so you'll probably see the same ships launching, the same ships flying, the same scene over and over again in this show. So just FYI.
They blew $33.5 million of 2021 money. They had to cut corners somewhere. And that was just on the first three episodes. They got to cut corners somewhere, too.
Well, I like your little scanners look like in television back in the day. In the 1970s, little computer monitors. Back me up. So
yeah, I don't know.
So the Cylon tanker. So the curiosity here is, why would a Cylon tanker be here full of fuel? Because that's very suspicious, right? Because why would you need a big fuel tanker?
Exactly.
If all you're going to have is kind of this, like, peace treaty ship. And here's why.
Yep, a bunch of Cylon ships.
Oh, shit, it's on. So there's a bunch of different Cylon raiders that are in this cloud. And the Cylons are amazing looking with their little eye that goes – they got the Shawn Michaels eye that goes back and forth. they're
Shawn
just
Michaels
amazing
eye.
Looking. Yeah. So now they're firing at them as they retreat because they got to go warn the Galactica.
So what the Cylons look like to me is I remember – this is probably where they stole what it looked like from. At like dollar store, dollar general, they would have like the alien looking and robot action figures, and this is exactly what it looks like. So I guess they might have lost what their Cylon, the trademark or whatever, or maybe it's public domain. But I remember I think I had a couple action figures that looked just like the Cylons, and it was like from robots.
They're
the
pretty badass looking. They put RoboCop to shame. I love that they're, like I said, I love their 1970s computer that's supposed to be in great space. I love the joystick. I love the little lasers that are fighting out. I actually think the Vipers and the Cylon Raiders are pretty badass looking, if you ask me.
Yeah, and like the Cylon Raider ship kind of looks like
the
ship that
plane a little bit.
well, that, and I was going to say the ship that the aliens have in Independence Day. Because, like, you know, the one that Will Smith shoots down. That's what it looks like to me.
All right,
and then we see that Apollo is just an amazing shot. He takes
just
down
blew
like,
our first Cylon ship up.
Yeah, he takes down like two or three of them. Zach's bitch ass only can take one, if that, which we'll see.
And you'll probably see the same scene over and over again in future episodes of them blowing up the same ones, by the way.
Oh, this is going to be so cheesy. I love it. But the story is great. So it's like, damn, what can we do?
And it doesn't waste time. It jumps right into it.
Yeah, we're 5 minutes into the movie, into the show, it feels like. And
it hooks you, right? It immediately hooks.
Oh, and we just saw that Zach just got shot.
Yep. Zach got hit, so his plane is his Viper is damaged. And Apollo comes up from the rear and takes out the ship pursuing him.
That looked like, God, what was that, that game that you would play? Asteroids. That looked like the asteroid ship getting blown up right there.
I like how the Vipers have wear and tear on them. They got, like, all this dust smoke on it and everything. It looks real. I think it looks really good for 78. Hey, look, here's your asteroids right here with the little triangles for Cylon ships on the radar.
Yeah. I love how they're like, oh, we got to use the turbo. And it's like, didn't you use it all? No, we didn't. So it's great. Fine.
So Zach tells Apollo to leave him because he's damaged in the attack, because he has to go back and warn the Quorum that the Cylons are coming to attack and they're about to be ambushed. So he has to make a decision and fly ahead to make sure everybody's warned. And Apollo reluctantly leaves his younger brother behind. So right away, you probably know that's not going to go over well. And now we're back at a commercial. Is that where you're at?
Yeah, I'm stuck where this weird-looking kid's getting rejected by a girl, so that's
okay,
a great
I don't have myself. That. I have this weird fire station. He's cranking up some things on the fire truck, kind of weird stuff. American Military University.
Yeah, that commercial where the kid was getting rejected, that somehow was a TurboTax commercial. Can't figure that one out. And now I have some local Subaru ad where they're like, you buy a car, it feeds America or something, instead of them just donating the money.
So while we're waiting for a commercial, so what do you think? We talked a little about. What do you think about the opening of what we just talked about? A lot of shit happened in a short amount of time.
Dude, I'm hooked because like 15 things happened in a good way. It's not like you're more will of the snobs. I just listen, but it's not like an episode of TNA where 20 things happen and you're like, I could give a shit less. But with this, I want to see what's gonna happen with the Cylons. Will Apollo make it back in time? Will Zach survive because he's got a bum ship? What's going to happen with humanity?
The setup for Zach is bad, right? So he's a young fighter pilot. You know, he's not even supposed to be on this patrol. He took Starbucks' place. And now his older brother, you got to feel bad for him because now his older brother kind of left under the wolves because his ship's damaged. But he has to make that sacrifice because he's got to warn the broader fleet. But you kind of know what's coming ahead. You got in your gut, this isn't going to look good for Zach. You got this whole armada of Cylons. And he's all by himself. He's a young fighter pilot. And you kind of get the gut that poor Zach and Rick Springfield are going to eat some shit. And he's going to go on in 1981 and record Jesse's Girl.
Well, here's what I thought, Sean. I thought that was going to be the lead character.
Oh, Zach? So we're not really?
Yeah, I thought Zach was going to be the lead character. The way they introduced him, I'm like, he's going to be the lead character. And I thought Apollo was going to be the one that does it. But
I guess makes sense because the first time watching this, you would assume that would be the case, right? Because they made a big deal out of him out of the start.
Yeah, and it's smart because they make you care about him. And then I'm back now, Sean.
Me too. So Adama's on his way back to Galactica. That's Athena. That is Adama's daughter. So she's also quite hotchy.
Yeah, she's pretty cute.
So Adama's got a shipload of children. So he's got Zach, he's got Athena, and Athena is someone involved with Starbucks, kind of under the radar, and you got Apollo. So he's got quite the family dynamic going. And this is Colonel Ty, kind of like, I would say, probably the Spock of this ship.
Yes. Oh.
So signals have been jammed, he's been warned, and now he's calling the president saying the gig's up, and oh shit, and there's Baltar. Over the president's shoulder.
Yeah, basically feeding him lies, saying, oh, don't do anything. This might show that, that this isn't peace and everything. You know, he's playing this president like a fiddle. So you just look at him. You know he's
Adama
a piece of shit.
Adama asked that the fleet be brought to a state of alert. Adar considers it. And, of course, Baltar says that will put the Cylons on the defense, and he talks the president out of it. So some heavy shit's about to go down.
And Sean, Baltar, bastard, coincidence? I think not.
Mm-mm. He said, I will consider it. And there's Baltar standing over the president's shoulder looking like an asshole.
Yep. Complete asshole.
I love the outfits on this show, and I can't get over the freaking 1970s computer screens here in outer space. It's so great.
I love it. Like, all this, like, technical stuff. You're going to see some cheesy overacting coming up. You see, Zach is, he's got like the oh shit look on his face because, he's got a whole commander of Cylons on his ass right now. He doesn't try any evasion tactics.
And he just told Adama that Zach is out there. So Adama just got the oh shit face because that's his son.
Yeah, the one he cares about.
I can't get over the freaking triangle Cylon ships on the radar. There we go. We move it forward. Wow. You know what? I firmly believe we could be fighter pilots on this show because all we need to know is how to use the joystick.
I've been playing with the joystick all my life. More ways than one. But don't.
But it is very much like an Atari. You just steer it with the stick and you press a red button. That's really all there is to it.
Yep.
And so Starbucks. He sounds the alert. There's Starbucks playing star poker with his little star cards.
And he loses all his little... He was going to, like win all this money and the guy takes it back. And then, Sean, this part where they all look like they're extras at Disneyland when they're riding on, like, these little things, like how I imagine, like, the Disney characters ride, like, underground to go to where they're supposed to go. That's what I'm imagining with these starfighters going to the battle stations.
So Starbucks... Look at them on that little train in their outfits.
Yes! Yes! Down the tunnel. That's what I'm talking about. I just imagine them doing that.
They're riding the little Haunted Mansion carts in the Haunted
Yes!
Mansion.
Yes! Yes, that's exactly what it is.
So they're launching all these fighters because they're sending them out because they've been warned, even though the president is against it. So Adama made the call here.
Someone has to be presidential, and it's not the president.
Yes. So Apollo makes it back. There's the other Galactica ships that are out there. So the ones we brought up earlier, he's flying into the bay here. And, you know, it's funny. I feel like the ship, the Battlestars, don't look that big because they have this little tiny outskirt. That little hang-off, that's the hangar to fly into it. It looks really tiny to me to kind of house all these ships.
I know. But, you know, we only let one ship go at a time. And I love, like, how Battlestar Galactica, their ship is, like, ready for war, and it's all red over there because, like, you've got to save power.
They're on red alert.
Yeah.
That's so great. Adama just told the president a fleet of Cylons have been discovered, and Baltar tells him it's the welcoming committee. And he's talking him out of it, and the president's falling for it, the dipshit.
Yeah, so stupid.
So Adama goes, does Baltar expect us to be here totally defenseless? And the president says it's the only peace man has known in centuries. We flash back to Zack, still stuck out there with a bunch of Cylons on his ass.
He is trying some evasive maneuvers now. He was just going straight at first. So
yeah,
that's
he's
good.
Toast, man. He's toast. There's no way to get out of this. He's toast. And now they're firing on him. Athena, his sister, is actually on talking to him because she's kind of like the one that's kind of like the dispatcher of the ship.
Up, and Zack can see the ship.
Adama just told the president that the welcoming committee just fired on the ship. The president asked, hey, where's Baltar? And Baltar's left. He's nowhere to be seen. He's gone. Like, he's out. He's like, I'm out, bastard, you idiot. And now all these battle stars are sitting ducks with all this Cylon attack. And they're going hard after Zack. He's almost to the ship, and here we go. Here comes the killing blow. Boosh. Zack is dead. Oh, brutal, man. And they show the flame blow up in the cockpit, and Zack is dead.
I love how the flame blows up in the cockpit first, and then the rest
of the
ship explodes.
How great was that visual?
It was great.
And this is brutal. The president goes, what was that? And Adama goes, that was my son. Savage. Just savage. And Athena just loses her shit. Holy shit, how great. I mean, just amazing.
We're 20 minutes in, and we've already had one death, and we're about to rack them up now.
All right, so now all the Cylon ships are firing upon all the battle stars. If I were to, maybe they impeach this president, but I guess it's irrelevant because he's probably going to die.
Yeah, he's about to be impeached by the Cylons. Active laser turrets. God, this is so great.
Look at the movie screen in the background of all the film of the Cylons flying outside the ship. That was great. So this is Boomer. You'll see him a lot. He's one of the main fighter pilots on here, so he's pretty main character.
Okay.
There's the turrets firing. You gotta admit, man, this is a pretty good ship for 1978 TV. Yeah, I mean, these visuals, special effects.
And then, like, there's like a shit ton of Cylon ships, and, you know.
I love the launch bay that they fly out of. It's so freaking awesome.
Apollo's like, I left Zack.
Yep. And we brought up, of course, that the Galactic is in the red because it's kind of like their oh shit color.
Yep. Everyone's like, Zack.
And we got to mention everybody's hair in this because it's clearly 1970s. They didn't do anything with the hair for this. So Apollo just ran in to tell his father that Zack's out there by himself and he's about to tell Apollo that he's dead.
Yep.
And then, Eddie just did.
And I just got a Microsoft Teams commercial. So way to take me out of the element, NBC. It's great.
I'm not in a commercial yet. So I'm going to pause. Let me know when you're back. All right?
All right.
So anyway, going back, a lot of shit's happened. So I'm paused at where Apollo just finds out that Zach's dead after. So imagine being the brother that deserted your other brother, knowing that he was a rookie fighter pilot, and now he's dead because you left him by himself. How would you feel?
I'd feel pretty shitty, but that guy wasn't really showing a lot of emotion. He's like, oh, he's dead, and that's just one less ship.
Yeah, they don't show a whole lot of emotion. They make these faces, but like Athena showed emotion, but Adama just stays stone-faced, and Apollo just has this look of, oh, well, I guess I fucked up.
Yeah, it's the seventh millennia. I guess they don't care about siblings or anything, so, screw them.
That's so great.
Now I got a Little Caesars commercial. So, Sean, did 5 or 6-year-old Sean have the bowl cut like the rest of these guys?
Yeah, Sean definitely had a bowl cut, a long bowl cut, like it went down into in front of his face. And he was a pudgy little kid, like he was a little fat, like Dennis the Menace bowl cut looking kid that was fat. So yeah, that was definitely me. So I imagine I probably cried the first time I watched this, and I had no idea that Rick Springfield would go on to such stardom in the music industry. Here he was an actor, and I guess he was going back and forth between acting and singing. And I got him in. I think I had 2 or 3 Rick Springfield albums when I was growing up.
I just know Jesse's Girl as for Rick Springfield. So.
Oh no, he's got a ton. He's got a ton of songs that in the 80s hit the top 10. So. Still in that commercial, huh?
I am back now. I just got back.
All right. So are you in the red where he's talking to Apollo?
No, it shot me ahead to right after where he's talking to Apollo. And I
what
see,
the hell
I think,
is going on with
I,
this?
I think I see Boomer.
All right, now I'm in commercial. So I guess okay, so wait till I get to the commercial.
Yeah.
Pause where you're at.
But I got it paused, but I see the guy. He has a Magnum PI mustache. Looks great. I'm glad they have a...
Is he a fighter pilot?
Yeah.
I think that's Jolly. Is he kind of thick?
Like a fat head? He's got a little bit of a fat head. Everyone's got a fat head with these Egyptian.
So that's
helmets.
Probably Jolly. Jolly's another kind of. So you have these fighter pilots that are like, they're part of the cast and they're kind of, they're second tier, but they also bring plot points to it. Like you'll see in after this, when we go to, what is it, episode 4, when we get back to Battlestar and we get the next set of episodes, they play a big part in this. Him and Boomer are a big part of the plot point on our second set of episodes after we get through this one. So,
okay.
Now I'm
on
the dominoes. So I think we're on the same commercials. Yours just might have jumped ahead quicker than mine.
Yeah. If you guys check out the NBC app, not the Peacock app, the NBC app, you'll see what me and Sean are fighting through for you guys.
Help me understand how NBC has a Peacock app and we can't get this goddamn show or Buck Rogers on it. Help me understand.
No idea.
That.
No idea. Because, spoiler alert, when WWE Network goes to the NBC Peacock app, that's when I'm going to buy the Peacock app, because then there'll be no commercials, and so I don't have to deal with commercials.
Yeah, you would totally think this would be like, why would you give this a show away for free? This would totally be a show you would think they would put on the Peacock, right?
Yeah. But yeah, the 2003 Battlestar is on Peacock. So I need to be in charge of content over at NBC.
Well, what's funny is the third show that I was initially going to do on this podcast, we were actually going to call it Battlestar Voyagers in the 25th Century, because the other show I watched growing up was called Voyagers that had Punky Brewster's brother in it. But anyway, we're back. So I am back with Jolly. Oh, yeah, that's not Jolly, but I'm back on the mustache guy.
All right, ready?
Yep, we're good. I'm on it.
All right.
So now you got the fighter pilot. There was Jolly, but now you got you just got this all out battle between the Cylons and the Vipers trying to protect the Battle Stars.
Oh, it's great. Oh, and we can
see
the
background. I love the noise the lasers make. It's so great.
Me too. God, it's just pandemonium, if I may say so, in space.
And I really dig their outfits. I love the holsters for their guns. I love the jackets. I think this is just really, really well done.
Oh, seeing more of Apollo, he definitely looks like Han Solo. He's like a Han Solo and Luke combination right there with the haircut.
He's more of like a fighter pilot He flies. He's more of the serious Han Solo. If you split him and Starbuck together, Starbuck's probably more Han Solo than Apollo is.
Okay.
Because he's more jovial, more of a smart ass, more about banging the chicks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because we saw Starbuck. He was, you know, smoking cigars, playing poker, you know, looking like the cool guy. And then, you know, Zach was the annoying little brother, and we got rid of him quick. So.
Yeah.
That guy's like all calm. Hey, Starbuck, it's dangerous. No shit. You got like 1,000 Cylons there. Come on, man.
Look at the president's face here. Oh, now I don't know where you're at, but now the president's ship's getting lambasted by.
Yeah, he's looking a little concerned right now. And I just love the overacting when the president's ship gets hit.
So he goes, how can I have been so completely wrong? And his screen keeps going in and out while the freaking Cylons are destroying his freaking ship. Now it's going to be all chaos. The president's about to eat shit.
It's great. He deserved it. That's what he gets for being a moron.
Oh, look, there's the trophy. Ah, guy falling over the railing.
That's what I was talking about, the overacting. Like, the guy, like, somehow jumps up. You see him grab onto
the railing and kind of do that backflip over the ropes.
I'm surprised Vince or Crockett didn't sign that guy immediately after seeing this.
This battle is absolutely unbelievable. I like how the Vipers fly. Oh, they're going right into the freaking hangar, shooting the hangar. Like they just did a suicide dive and just blew the ship up while they flew into it.
It's amazing.
Look at that freaking visual of the freaking president, man. Unbelievable.
Mr. President, get down. I love how he's holding on and like that one guy's like pressing the button. Like pressing the button's not gonna help, buddy.
Oh, and look at that Battlestar just blows this shit up. So the president's ship has just been totally destroyed.
Yep.
Wow.
And Adamus is watching it because they decided to open the screen up so they could see what was happening.
Well, he's like, I'm gonna watch that damn president die, the stupid fuck.
Yeah, he's like, I'm second in command now. I'm now the president.
I'm in command. You didn't listen to me, you dumb motherfucker. You should have died.
Exactly. My note here is president being a bitch, he is killed.
So this is the big Cylon. This is the Death Star. This is like their Death Star ship. Kind of like their Battlestar.
Yes, and they are these Death Star, Cylon Death Star ships are heading to the human colonies. This was an all-out attack.
So basically,
that was
this
take them
attack
out.
on the Battlestars was all a ploy and a diversion so they could go attack Caprica, which is actually Adama's whole planet. So we're going to see that play out here pretty soon. So this, I love this part. Like this guy in the chair, the big fucking head. And he turns around and he's like sitting in a recliner, just chilling.
Yeah. So with you mentioned the reptilian people, I thought it was a plant guy. So is this possible? It's one of the reptilian people that created the Cylons.
It possibly could. He's like head of the Cylon. I think he's kind of maybe like a master Cylon, kind of like a queen bee kind of situation, maybe.
Okay. That's
but
what
notice
I thought.
His voice is the same guy that does the intro of the show.
Hey, you got
now we have multiple Death Star ships. And they're all heading to Caprica.
But I just thought it was a plant because it looked like it was a little plant bud was coming out of his elbow, his shoulder right
it
there.
It literally like, looks like they grew a chia pet and put it on his head as a mask. That's what it looks like.
That's probably what they did because that's when chia pets were big, right? Or are they big in the 80s?
No, they were later in the 80s, but it might be the very first chia pet.
Did you have a chia pet, Sean?
No.
What about a pet rock?
I did have a pet rock. I had a pet gummy worm, a pet rock. You know what? As we go through the history of this show, I might have to tell you some young Sean stories, but I'm not going to do it this episode. I'll wait until later episodes.
God, this is great. It's just like the Cylons have been wrecking humanity shit for the past 10 to 15 minutes now. They got the humanity on the run. They find Adamus finds out that they're
heading to Caprica.
Yeah, sorry.
They just found out.
Yeah, so they leave like the ships behind, which is kind of a shitty mood by Adamus, if I may say so myself. He left some fighters out there.
Yep.
So leadership might not be the best thing for him if he's making these dumb decisions.
All right, so now we're on Caprica, where they're supposed to do this big peace festival with the Cylons, and it's being reported by the news, and the news person here is Jane Seymour as Serena. And she's kind of like a space news reporter reporting on this treaty. And the people of Caprica obviously have no idea what's happening. That look how hot she is. She's hot.
Yeah, man. She looks amazing. And let's be honest, there's like 10 people here at this peace thing. They really don't give a shit. But Jane Seymour looking like a dime, looking damn good.
But here they are watching them, knowing what's about to hit them. Like, it's almost like, have you ever seen Starship Troopers?
Yes.
So it's like that scene when Starship Troopers attacks the planets and they all watch their families blow up when the signals go out. That's what this is going to remind me of. And here we go. Here come the Cylons about to destroy this freaking planet Caprica. Look at this. Look at all the ships in the sky. They got like a little Washington Monument in the middle of the city.
That they're just going to wipe out. I do love how they did make this planet look like it was high tech. Because it looks like instead of like regular buildings, it's kind of looking like pyramids.
Well, it looks like they filmed this and she's standing in front of a green screen.
Oh, no, 100%. But I'm just saying, like, they made it look like it wasn't like normal stuff.
This kid running down the stairs is Boxy. That is Serena's kid and obviously his dog.
You know, that's pretty good that, you know, in the seventh millennia, they still have animals, because I have a dog and I'm okay with it.
This dog is about to meet an unfortunate demise, unfortunately.
I know, I can't.
When I watch it, it made me cry.
I don't blame you. I was blown away because I thought the dog, spoiler, dog gets killed because the Washington Monument falls on it.
Yeah, the Washington Monument kills the dog.
Yeah. But I was like, damn, the dog, they're gonna, and like some random guy's like, I'll save you, Serena. And it's like, come on, get your dumbass kid and let's go. I mean, he picks the kid up like a rag doll.
Maybe if I save her, she'll let me in her pants. That's what he's saying.
I mean, it's pretty smart.
It is pretty smart. Oh, and now he just ate shit. He's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. It's like, let me get you to safety. Nope. Here comes the scene.
You know what? I can handle anybody, male or female, dying in a movie. I can't handle the animals. The animals destroy. Oh, and you hear him go, it's terrible.
It's awful. Heartbreaking. That's how you know. It's like, I actually wrote down here, I said, Cylons just killed a dog. It's fucking on now, in all caps.
Is it wrong that hit me more in the feels than Rick Springfield dying? Does that make me a bad person?
Okay. No, I mean, if you would have released Jesse's Girl first, maybe, because I've been like, maybe we get a sequel. But since we've got like 40 years of shitty Rick Springfield music, I'm okay with it.
Who is this guy that's like the other commander that looks like Triple H with the big honker? Who's that guy?
Paul Levesque's dad. That's who it is.
It's Paul Levesque's father. He started Battlestar Galactica. Awesome. I love it. So now they're all in somber mode. They realize their home planet's been destroyed and they're just watching it. And Adama is like heartbroken because you know who else is on that planet? His wife. His wife was alive and she's still there and now I think she's dead. So he's lost his son and now he's lost his wife.
I mean, maybe he should have had her with him. I don't know. Just
and Athena's losing her shit. Which she should, right?
Yeah. I mean, someone in that family has to show some damn emotion.
And she's crying because they trusted us to protect them and we failed them, so.
Yeah. I mean, there's no line with that. You did fail.
Yep. In all fairness, Adama didn't fail. The president and failed them all.
That's true. But still, he's supposed to be the leader.
So what they just said as well, that the Cylons have attacked all other remaining planets. So we talked about the Quorum of 12. So all the other planets have been attacked by the Cylons as well, which means every planet has been destroyed. All of them. So there's no more. I mean, the planets are still there. But a lot of them are uninhabitable now based on the ones that are in the quorum. Now, you'll see other planets throughout the show that they explore and everything, but the main planets that are a part of this little quorum with the treaty have all been destroyed. You can still go to them, but they're very much inhabitable at this point.
Now it's just a quorum of one.
It's a quorum of one, and that is Lauren Green, who you thought was a woman.
The name was Lauren!
In all fairness, Adama could easily be a girl's name too. Queen Adama. Are you on commercial now?
No. I've just got on Bullet and Beer. They must know who they're talking to.
Mine has a commercial for Melatonin that has a very disturbing Harry Potter looking owl in it.
Oh, we should have got switched. It's a little upsetting. Yes. Because you like bourbon,
so what
right?
Do you think? So how far into the show are we? I haven't even looked at the timestamp.
I can't look because the ad's fine. Showing.
So think about in the short amount of time, we had a Cimon Treaty, we had a fighter pilot scout out to go, you know, kind of see what's going on. They kill Zach, they destroy all the battle stars, they destroy all the planets. There's only one battle star left, and then we have no idea where the hell Baltar is, and then we have a Chia Pet that's leading the Cylons. That's a lot of shit that's happened in this episode already. Like, this could be a whole movie within itself in a short amount of time.
Yeah, and did you say that they left Starbuck? You said that, right?
They left Zach.
No, Zach's dead, but they left Starbuck to go look at the, because that's what we'll see shortly.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, yes.
So Starbuck is just hanging out, floating in space, taking on rogues by Cylons.
It's crazy. I mean, this is just like a batshit freaking premiere.
So is it, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, so are the next, after the first two episodes, are the rest of the episodes like that? Or is it more like, I know you mentioned like it sounds like it turns into like Monster of the Week type deal instead of...
You know what? I don't think so. I think you're going to run into that a little bit where you're going to have kind of the episode of the week, but I think they all thread really well together with the narrative of what the true story is as they go to Earth. Like, they explore different planets to kind of see what's down there, see if there's any survivors. That's one of the main things they do. And then, you know, see what's going on there, what forms of life are down there. So they do a bunch of different stuff, but I think it's all in the narrative. I'm back from commercial, by the way.
Me too. And Starbuck just pulled in, it looks like. Are you there yet?
Hang on. Yes, Starbuck's coming in.
Okay. But no, it's just great. Like, all this stuff happened, and I remember, like, as we're 31 minutes in to a 49-minute episode. So,
God,
you know,
all that happened in 31 freaking minutes.
Yeah, 31 minutes, and what just happened was, like, you know, could have been, like, the first part of the movie. Which,
could you imagine, like, when this premiered on ABC and they played the whole three-hour movie, could you imagine the amount of anxiety you probably had getting through 3 hours of this after the first 30 minutes just being freaking crazy? I'd go nuts.
Yeah, and also, this is 1978, right, when this came out?
Yes.
1978. You don't have pause for your DVR, so you had to be there. You had to record, and I don't think there was many VCRs around at the time, so you couldn't record it, and this stuff was only shown once.
So Athena just left her post because her and Starbuck are involved, and Starbuck is coming in on a crash landing, and she's worried about Starbuck crashing and dying just like everybody else, so she's going to run down to greet him because they're kind of romantically involved unofficially in the background.
Oh, yeah, they don't have labels, but they're deaf banging. You can definitely tell.
They go out of their way not to, I mean, well, you'll see. He gets caught later on with the hooker, which is even better, so.
Well, we'll get to the scene where she's changing, and it just made me – I was like, damn, this is pretty risque for 1978, but we'll get there.
I love how that one scene where he's crash landing, you could totally tell it was a model that they were pulling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was great. Like, that's – like, this – like, for the – for, like, shitty, like, CGI, like, it was not CGI, obviously, like, cardboard and everything, but that was, like, the worst thing that we've seen so far.
Oh, look, they're fighting.
I mean, look at Han and Leia, I mean, Starbuck and Athena.
Starbuck's arguing with him because he's bad at Adama, but... Starbuck doesn't understand what's truly happened. He doesn't know that Caprica has been destroyed. He doesn't know anything that's happened beyond what's happened out in space. Yeah. She's trying to tell him.
But he's not listening. Too much of a hothead.
So she just told him the colonies are all gone. He's kind of a prick.
Yes, he is.
So this girl's lost her brother and her mother, and he's being such a prick. Of course, he doesn't know that that's been lost. All right, so now we're down on Caprica. This is Caprica, and So Apollo is down there, and I think Adama went down there with him.
Yeah, Adama's down looking at his destroyed house right now. He's only there for 3 days out of a month.
This is his house. His wife is dead. So pretty hard day for the Adama family.
He lost his son. He's like now the acting leader of what's ever left of humanity.
Yes.
One small nitpick here. I wish they wouldn't have had actual pictures, but I know it's 1978. They could have like just done something else. So I would like to think in the seventh millennia, we went past photos.
Well, true. Yeah, it could at least be like an iPad with photos or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, got some crazy ass vagrants.
Oh, his like daughter, there. his wife was pretty gilfy. Yeah, go Adama.
That's why he has 15 kids.
All right, so here comes the survivors walking around to the. I think they see the fighter pilot and Apollo. Yeah, they see the ship. So Scott, the other thing we're going to do as we go along in the show is we're going to add more women to the Sean pot feed harem as we go through this watch.
Is Jane Seymour in it?
So I have officially added Jane Seymour, and I've officially added Adama's daughter. So those two are now within that harem now.
Okay. I mean, that's a harem. And if you guys know from watching PTPN Goes to the Couch, Cobra Kai and WandaVision, Sean has Kat Dennings, Amanda LaRusso,
Miguel's mom,
Wanda, and now he's got seven. Might as well be Ric Flair.
Pretty soon, I'm gonna have like a better list going there than I do on the Smell Club. So, I like that I could do two pods on the pot feed and just amass this harem of wonderful women.
Exactly.
Oh, look, Apollo! Look, Adama's finally shedding a tear. It took him all episode to work up a tear.
Yeah, it took him 43 minutes, but we're finally here. Oh, and the survivors have made their way down the hill.
So the survivors here are angry because they feel like, where's all the other Vipers? Where are all the other ships? Because they feel like they let their planet get destroyed, and they don't really know the whole story. Where were they? Where are the rest of your fancy flyers? This looks like Nottingham with Robin Hood and his merry men. That's what they're all dressed like.
You know, I do like they're doing something different with the clothes. You brought this up, but I really do like how it's, you know, it looks different. It's kind of a mixture of like old and new, which I like a lot.
Well, and it definitely separates. Like you could tell these are survivors versus like you could definitely tell these are people that just went through a freaking war.
Yep.
And he tells them I'm from the Battlestar Galactica. He's telling them we're the only one left.
No, you little bastard.
Well, can I ride in your ship? No, you little bastard.
Only if your mom takes a ride first, kid.
Well, be careful what you wish for. You might see that play out over this. We're going to fight back.
He's kind of put me to sleep when he talks sometimes. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, Adama definitely has a very deadpan delivery.
I can see why the president wasn't listening to him. I probably wouldn't listen to him either. I've been falling asleep.
And he tends to overact, and I think that's kind of like the older generation of acting where they have to pronunciate and articulate every little word. That's kind of the method of acting. So now they've gathered all these people, and now they're bringing them all back to the Galactica.
Yep,
so they have all these little cargo ships, like sub-cargo ships. So look at this one. It says Colonial Movers on it. So they got a moving ship with like a freaking storage tank on it. It's like they couldn't do anything better. We move anywhere. Colonial Movers. Unbelievable.
Well, you know, it's awesome. I love how the logo is like the moving ship, too. It's great. We move anywhere.
So Baltar's on Caprica, staying with the Cylons. And they're telling Baltar that survivors escaped. And Baltar's saying, how far can they go? And he's basically saying they can't go anywhere. They don't have food or anything.
I mean, that's a good point. There's only so many times. I wish they would have added like a second sun on this when we see. But that might have been too much of Star Wars right there. Oh, never mind. There is two suns. Disregard.
Oh, I just went to commercial.
Oh. I'll catch up because I was behind.
Okay. So, yeah. So, again, now that we're like getting towards the end, what do you think of the demise of Caprica, all the refugees going back to the Galactica? That kind of sets us up for the next episode and really how the show is going to play out moving forward.
This is something that I'm glad they showed, that I'm glad it's just not like the ship of Galactica. I'm glad that it's some of the survivors as well, so we can hopefully, you know, look to see, like, I see some stories being shown in, and I just got sent to commercial as well. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. It's definitely like a story that it's like, damn, I wasn't expecting this to be this interesting and have me hooked, but it has me hooked because I want to see what happens next, which unlike some other shows that I've watched, and I'm just like, can I just be done with this show? But with this one, I'm like, I want to see what happens next. Come on, feed me more.
So full disclosure, did you watch by chance the 2003 remake that aired on the Sci-Fi channel?
No, I did not.
So I've always not gone to watch it because I hold this one in such high regard, but I think I'm going to have to broach it and actually watch it, because in that show, the Cylons actually take on human form and you don't know who's Cylon and who's not. So it's almost like the Skrulls, like from Marvel. So maybe what we'll do is long term, it might be a fun thing to do one day once we get through this kind of little mini series over the next couple months. Maybe we go back and watch the remake of this maybe one day.
Yeah, definitely, because I was actually thinking, like, after we finish this, like, I go back and just watch it myself. But if we can turn this into, like, add one to the pod, I'm in, because I want to see what happens. Especially,
and I've never,
like,
watched that show, so we'd be watching it for the first time together. So there's a lot of possibilities where we could go with this. All right, now we're back with Adama. Are you back yet? Because I'll pause.
No, I'm pause it. I'm on the last ad.
Yep, let me know when you're back.
I'm getting an Instacart ad. I don't care.
Yeah, that is the one bad part about this, guys, and I think we've done a pretty good job covering through them. The commercials will drive you a little crazy because you can't fast forward them, and it's usually five ads, so it'll drive you a little crazy. But it's well worth it.
And they don't pop like normally when you see like a TV show go to black. They usually just power through that and then just do a commercial in the middle of like a conversation.
Yeah, like
I'm back.
Okay, so am I. So you could literally see like a cockpit blow up, and then you're gonna see a melatonin ad.
Yep.
All right, so you're at the same place where Adama is addressing all the refugees that are on board his ship now?
Yep. Looks like a ragtag group of people.
Well, and that's really the theme of this. Ragtag fugitive fleet is kind of what the intro calls them. Actually, it's the outro, so every episode I do it in the first couple ones, they say something about the Battlestar Galactica and its ragtag fugitive fleet. Are searching for the planet known as Earth. It's kind of a famous outro of his TV series.
Okay.
Hopefully when we edit this, our good friend Andy Atherton, who obviously is the COO of the Pop Feed, will edit that in. I asked him to, so hopefully he can find it, because I couldn't find it online, the outro.
I love this.
All right, so he just addressed them, and oh, yeah, look at Athena there. Hell yeah.
Yeah, she looks great.
So now Athena is getting undressed in her outfit, and Starbuck walks in on her. Wow, she's hot.
Well, this is after Adama says they're going to Earth to find, which was their original homeland.
The unknown, like the uncharted 13th colony known as Earth, is what they're going to.
Yeah.
Starbucks walks in on her getting dressed, and now he's trying to be the schmoozer, saying I'm sorry, because he sees her naked, and of course he wants to try and get some.
I mean, I don't blame him. She looks really good.
She's got beautiful eyes. This is kind of smarmy, you know. Hey, your brother died, your mother died, but you know what? I'm going to use that to my advantage and apologize so I can get in your pants. It's kind of shitty of Starbucks to do, if you ask me.
Yeah, he's like, if there's a shoulder, you know, I can cry that you need to cry on, my shoulder's ready and willing.
So translation, if you need a penis, it's right
look
here.
No further.
You can call me Starfuck.
Oh, the 21st century.
You know who she looks a little like? She looks like a little bit like Meredith Salinger. Have you ever seen Dream a Little Dream?
No, I was actually thinking Eve Torres.
Yeah, she's got a little bit of Eve Torres, Meredith Salinger going on. Like, she, her face is absolutely... her. I do see Eve Torres, you're right. Yeah, she's beautiful.
Yeah, especially with the eyes, like you said that.
Yeah, eyes are... I like how every pod that I'm on with you somehow it evolves into Sean's, like, desirable women.
I know. I'm sorry. I just bring it out of you, Sean. It happens.
Well, I feel like it's a gimmick now, and I can't really go back because it's there. I gotta live the gimmick.
I mean, but that's good because there's been no shit takes this. I mean, it might be just me with the Lauren thing, but yeah, there's been no shit takes this episode.
So let's see, 78. How many years ago is this show?
78. Hold on. 88, 98. Oh, wait.
43. So 43 years ago, I would say what? She's probably mid-20s here?
Yeah.
So 25 and 43. So she's a spry, what, 68 now? I wonder if she looks as good now.
Yeah. You know, just do the Instagram search.
I will look her up before the next episode. So here we go. This is kind of like the sub ships where all the refugees that they have. But oh, and that's the end of the episode. Mine just went out. Did yours go out?
No.
No?
No.
Hit pause. My episode just went out for some reason.
Oh. Yep, mine just crapped out too, so it's the app.
That's the end of the episode.
Okay.
All right, so we had the sudden end of episode one where Starbucks, on the ending scene, was going to get in Athena's pants, and then we saw the other ships kind of flying in the background and have all the refugees on. So that actually ends episode one, and we'll talk about part two and three in our episode number two. But Scott, overall, what do you think of episode one of Battlestar Galactica?
I loved it. I was all in on it. And one part that it randomly cut out was that they like all these people, they were like on another ship. Like Starbuck was looking at all these other people in the ship, and they were like, "Where's food and water at?" So like you see, like there's some bad situations going on at this. And then they pick up this blonde hottie who's like people are like,
shit.
Yeah,
we'll talk about her. So her name is Cassiopeia, and she, I forget what they call her in that. They call her
socialite or something.
A socialite, but it's very heavily implied that she is a hooker. So yeah, go on, Scott. Keep talking about it since we get cut out on us.
Yeah, so they bring that up, and like this old lady who kind of looks like a Karen was like, "Get her out of here!" So, like socialite, just like shitting on her, and like that's the ending last image is like them picking this woman up, this hot blonde up, and like going on, and then we get a preview of next episode, which Sean had already spoken about.
So yeah, so that's kind of how it ended, and what they'll do, and we'll pick up from there. So episode one. So yeah, so what's funny is on a Wikipedia page, if you go down to the episodes, it has a little picture on the side of Serena, Athena, and Cassiopeia all side by side. So like the three women of Sean's harem that we will talk about, these will be the big three. So I got a nice little picture of it here on my Wikipedia. So kind of an added bonus here. So yeah, so guys, that's our first episode. Scott, I appreciate you joining me. So far, it sounds like you like it. And I look forward to this journey continuing as we get into episode two. We still have, like I said, there's still two parts to go in this opener, which, again, a lot of stuff happens. I think episode two and three are a little odd because you'll wonder why they did a three-part episode like this, because they go to this planet and some weird shit happens, but you almost think like it could be a separate episode versus a three-hour movie because it feels like it's a little forced. So I'll be curious when we get to that what your thoughts are there.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like when they were showing for what happens next, it seemed like, oh, it's like, are we going to like a B plot for the whole episode? And that's what it seems like.
Well,
but yeah,
it will feel that way a little bit. So I know we were hot on this opener, but I'm curious to see how you feel about the next two parts of this, because personally for me, I feel like it is a little bit of a B plot shoved into a 3-hour movie just for the sake of shoving it in. So with that, Scott, anything else you would like to talk about or anything you want to plug?
You can reach me at on Twitter at Scott_Shiflet. I'm on Blockbuster Rewind, one of the co-hosts with that, and on PTBN Goes to the Couch with Sean, Tim, and Andy. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, awesome. I'm glad you're here with me on this journey. You can find me at NWA Crack and Roll, and the other podcasts I do, obviously NWA Crack and Roll, just like I talked about. You can catch me also on Pop Goes to the Couch with Scott, like you mentioned, Wrestling's Chicken Salad, and Shrink Wrapped, and Highway to the Impact Zone. So this is kind of my fifth podcast, but honestly, it's only the second one I host. So, but this one is definitely a pet project. This one's not all, for me, this one's not even like hosting. This is just like watching something that I've wanted to watch for a long time. So, Scott, again, thanks for joining me. We will be back in 2 weeks with episode 2 and 3 of Battlestar Galactica. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.